It's the Sports Talk Podcast with Ryan Furin giving you the hottest sports takes in town. You can reach Ryan through Facebook, email, and Twitter. Now it's time to start the show. Here's Ryan.
What is going on, guys? I'm Ryan Furin here on Sports Talk on Podbean.com as well as iTunes. It is June 14th, Thursday, and it's been a while since our last show, and I've been wanting to do one, but I've been working, and I just haven't really gone around to it. And so finally, we're here with reaction to the Celtics losing Game 6 and Game 7 to the Miami Heat of the 2012 Eastern Conference Finals and losing the series 4-3. And unfortunately, this Celtics season, this terrific postseason run for the Celtics, comes to an end in Miami. And I think that if you asked a lot of people, including myself, where this team would have ended up at the end of this year, looking at the beginning of this year and saying, you know, where they're going to end up, I probably would have said they'll probably be out in the second round and, you know, depends on who they play. But, you know, look how far they went. They went to the seventh game of the Eastern Conference Finals, and they just couldn't get it done. I have a few takeaways from both games, game number 6, which was in Boston, as well as game number 7, which was in Miami on Saturday night. Also, coming up today on Sports Talk, Celtics offseason moves. What do they need to do for next year, this summer? What are their priorities? I have 4 main priorities lined up, the 4 top things that Danny Ainge and the rest of his staff need to come together and work on getting solutions for. And in the talk to take today to end the show, the NHL playoffs are over. Congratulations to the Los Angeles Kings. They have won the 2012 Stanley Cup. Congratulations to Jonathan Quick on winning the Conn Smythe Award. They deserved it, and they are the Stanley Cup champions this year. Talk to take will center around the NHL playoffs and why I thought they absolutely sucked this year, why they were boring, and why I'm glad that they're over, and why I cannot wait to start next season. But getting into the Celtics, first game 6. So they win game 5 on the road. That was a really tough game. You know, the title for my last show, that, you know, Celtics won a huge one, and it was a huge one. That was a big game to win that on the road. At that point in the series, you're up 3-2, and you're coming home. I really thought that Game 6 was going to be it, because I sort of was comparing this team a little bit. I probably shouldn't have been, but I was comparing them a little bit to the 08 team in the way that they were able to go into Detroit in Game number 6 in the Eastern Conference Finals, even though it was on the road, and close it out. So I thought that they'd be able to do that coming back home. They sort of had the momentum. They sort of had this age thing going of, well, you might say we're old. You might say that we don't have much left in the tank, but we're going to do it. I thought that that was going to be game 6. Unfortunately, it wasn't. They ended up losing that 98-79, and the key takeaway from game 6 was just LeBron took over. There's nothing else, not much else you can say about game 6. It was all LeBron James. He just took over from the beginning. And that was, there was nothing that anybody was going to say or do to stop him. Unfortunately for the Celtics, they just really looked old in that game. And I thought there were a few times in that game where the Heat were up by a bunch, almost like 10 points maybe. And there were a few times where we were able to get it back to like around 10 points, cut the deficit a little bit, the crowd started to feel it. Then all of a sudden from out of nowhere, LeBron would just hit a few shots in a row, and then it was all, you know, back over a 15 point deficit. And I thought the Celtics, after a couple of times after coming close, just sort of gave up in the end, which is understandable, but at the same time, it's nothing new from the Celtics team, because they've done it before. They've done it in both series that they played this year in the playoffs against Atlanta and Philadelphia. They've done it before in this Big Three era. So I really wasn't surprised when they sort of just gave up at the end and said, you know what, this was a golden opportunity to win at home in Game 7, but we do have game, I mean, excuse me, this was a golden opportunity to win at home in Game 6, but at least we still have Game 7. So on to Game 7, the Celtics, I didn't think were going to win. And I wanted to do a show on Friday, but I just never got around to doing it. Didn't really feel like doing it. But I never thought that they had a chance to actually win going into Game 7. I thought that it could be close, but I thought in the end, LeBron, the Heat, the home team, they were going to get the calls. They were going to get all the foul calls. And in the end, I just envisioned a tight game going down the stretch, sort of like that 2010 NBA Finals Game 7 in Los Angeles. I sort of just envisioned something along those lines, where the Celtics were up for most of the game, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the Lakers come back, sort of tie it at the end, because the Celtics stopped making shots, and all of a sudden, the Lakers got the lead and never looked back, and that's sort of what happened with the Heat. They had control of that game, the Celtics, they did, through three quarters of play. And then score got tied in the fourth. The Heat started hitting some big shots, and the Celtics started missing them. I don't blame the officials at all. I didn't think it was bad. Not as bad as I thought it was going to be. There weren't too many foul calls that were really, really bad. Nothing that I could truly say, all right, that cost the Celtics a chance. So I don't blame the officials. Sort of came down to the Celtics started missing their shots and the Heat started making theirs. And in the end, it was the Heat to take Game 7, 101-88. They, like I said, they had great effort through three quarters. That was certainly a plus for them. I'm not trying to make excuses. And I've heard a lot of people say that there are no excuses for losing. You can't say, well, it was age that got to him in the end. Well, it was fatigue that got to him in the end. If they were able to go through three quarters without fatigue, they should have finished in the fourth quarter. But, like I said, I don't want to make excuses, but at the same time, there has to be some sort of explanation as to why they couldn't hit shots late in the fourth quarter. There has to be an explanation for that. I know I don't want to make excuses, but there has to be some reason why Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, and the other Celtics that attempted shots going down the stretch at the end of the fourth missed all of them. There has to be some explanation for that. And that's why I do think that fatigue might have been a factor. Again, fatigue almost is a mental thing. When guys start believing in it and it gets into their head, that's when it starts to affect them. So maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was Ray Allen and Paul Pierce trying to hit those threes, and maybe it was Ray Allen and Paul Pierce and they just sort of started getting fatigued and they started missing a couple shots and it sort of just got into their heads. Who knows? But I think that fatigue might have been a factor. A huge factor for the Heat, Chris Bosh, amazing, hitting huge three-pointers. That ended up being the decisive blow to do it in the end. I know LeBron James hit a huge deep three, but it was Chris Bosh. He was sort of like Ron Artest at the end of that 2010 Finals, Game 7 in LA, just hitting three-pointers from out of nowhere, stepping up huge. That's encouraging if you're a Heat fan to see Chris Bosh stepping up like that. And at the end of the day, though, when we look back at the whole series and we look back at the whole season for the Celtics, the Heat are a more complete team. They just are. They obviously have the star power, but they have the role players that can get it done. You know, Shane Battier, I know he started for most of this series, but he is a role player for all intents and purposes. Mario Chalmers, role player. They have guys that can come off the bench and help out, which is huge in the playoffs. The Celtics didn't have that. All season long and all playoffs long, we did not have a bench. We had a terrible bench. Terrible. We had no bench. And that is sort of why, a huge reason why the Celtics are not going to the NBA Finals, because they have no bench. Back in 08, we had a tremendous bench that would come off and help the starters. Guys like Eddie House, James Posey, PJ Brown. Tremendous help from those guys in 08, but we just didn't have that element in this year's matchup against the Heat. And I think that was almost why the Celtics could have got over the hump in 08, because they had that bench, guys that could step up. We had some pieces. We had Keon Dueling. We had, you know, Brandon Bass. He's not a bench player. He is a role player. He's not a bench player. But guys like Steemsma and Hollins, Pavlovich, Marquise Daniels. I like Marquise Daniels, but he's not that good. So we didn't have a good bench, and that really hurt us going down the stretch. If we had a tremendous bench, you know, it would have made things a lot interesting. And at the end of the day, David Stern gets his matchup. Not going to say it was fixed. Celtics had numerous chances to win that game in Game 7. They had numerous chances to win the series, Game Number 6. So I don't think that the whole thing is fixed. But Stern gets the matchup that he wanted. He wanted LeBron, Wade, Durant, Westbrook. That's what he wanted, so he's going to get it. And that's what the rest of the world, the rest of the basketball audience wanted as well. So at the end of the day, the Celtics lose this series, unfortunately. I know the whole city was getting behind them. I was too. Like I said, I'm not much of a basketball guy, but it was nice to have a team that you could get behind, like the Celtics, a team that never gave up. Celtics team had a great attitude all the way through. Sad to see them lose in the end because they truly deserved to go to the finals. The way they played like a team. They didn't have any big superstar divas like LeBron James or Dwayne Wade. They played as a team. And it's sad to see them go, but unfortunately they couldn't get it done in the end. Next up, we're going to get into Celtics offseason talk. What do they need to do now that the season is over? What do they need to do to improve their team going into next season? Should they blow it up? Should they try to bring some veterans back? Should they try to bring like KG, Paul Pierce, Rajon Rondo, Ray Allen back? You know, don't blow up this big three yet. Make it a 6-year era. We're going to talk about that next. Back in here on Sports Talk with Ryan Ferran right here on podbean.com. Also, search iTunes Sports Talk with Ryan Ferran. We are up on iTunes. That's good coffee. So the Celtics offseason moves, what do they need to do? I have narrowed it down to a list of 4 top priorities that they need to attend to. Danny Ainge needs to attend to. Number 1 priority. This was throughout the entire season, not just the playoffs, not just the Eastern Conference Finals. This was the entire season that I watched these games for them. Number 1 priority on the Celtics offseason shopping list, the Celtics offseason to-do list, get a big man. I don't care how it happens. If you got to trade somebody or put a trade package together or free agency, whatever the deal is, you got to get a big man, a big center that can rebound and have an inside presence. Because for too many times in this season for the Celtics, teams would run right up the gut because they knew that the Celtics had no big man in the paint that could stop them. No big man that could contest big shots in the paint. So a lot of these teams would run right up to the Celtics, right in the paint, right to the basket, and not have a contested shot, unfortunately. And that happened all season long. It was a huge crux of the Celtics. And so I think that that is one of the biggest, that is the number one factor. You got to get a big man. We used to have one, Kendrick Perkins. He's not really good on offense, but he is a big man. He can rebound, defense as well. Have that inside presence. We just don't have that anymore ever since we got rid of Kendrick Perkins. So we need that ASAP because we also need help with rebounding as well. We're a terrible rebounding team. Terrible. That's huge. That's a huge area where the Celtics lacked all season long and throughout the playoffs. That is the number one priority that we need. We need a big man. Number one for the Celtics. Number 2, you got to get good role players and you got to get a better bench. That's number 2. I say right off the bat, you got to bring back Brandon Bass and Keon Doolin. I know Bass wasn't a bench player, but you got to keep him anyways. He's a role player. So definitely keep Brandon Bass because he is good. Also, I say bring back Keon Doolin. He was a locker room leader. He was a bench player. He was a guy that can come off the bench. He's an NBA veteran. Guys listen to him. I think he's a great guy that the Celtics should keep, like I said, for that locker room voice. So you keep Keon Doolin and you keep Brandon Bass. For all intents and purposes, you can get rid of everybody else because, you know, Steemsma, nice kid. Hollins, you know, I mean, just Sasha Pavlovich, Marquise Daniels, like I said. I'm sure there's guys I'm forgetting, but they just weren't getting it done. Like I said, it's huge to have role players that can come off the bench in key situations and help out the starters. And the Celtics just didn't have that. Like I said, I don't want to have to go back to 08, but I'm going to do it. Eddie House, James Posey, P.J. Brown. I mean, just three guys to name off the top that helped the Celtics tremendously throughout their run in 2008. And I think the Celtics needed guys like that, especially in this 2012 Eastern Conference Finals series against the Heat. They really could have used a good bench. And unfortunately, they never had that. So they need good role players. They need to get a better bench. That is the second priority on the list. Priority number three, sign back KG if he wants to come back. I think that, well, we know that KG was the heart and soul of this Celtics team down the stretch after the All-Star break. Guys, listen to him. He was the locker room leader. He was the heart and soul of the team. If Doc can convince him to come back, well, if he wants to come back, if Doc can convince him to come back, if Rondo can convince him to come back, I think that if this core stays together, Ray Allen's gone. I do definitely think that Ray Allen is gone, but if Pierce is back and you bring back Garnett and Ainge goes out, you still have Rondo. If Ainge goes out and shops for good supporting players around those three guys, get some other guys that can start, and get some good bench players, I think that this team could definitely go back to the Eastern Conference Finals, and I think they could possibly win an NBA championship next year if KG plays like he did this past playoff run. If he comes back and he gets money and he just sort of mails it in, then he got a problem. But if he plays the way he did this whole last postseason run, that would be huge for the Celtics. And like I said, I think if you put the right supporting players around those three guys, they could win a title. So sign KG back if he wants to come back. And number four, try to see what Rondo will give you. I'm not talking about a trade, believe me. I'm going to give you an opinion change on Rajon Rondo just a second. Not for trade, but see what stars might want to come to Boston and play with Rajon Rondo. Rajon Rondo is going to get guys the ball, and he's going to get guys scoring opportunities. So if you're a big-name NBA talent, you got to realize that if you come to Boston, you're going to get the ball, and you're going to score a lot. So I think that would be a huge asset for the Celtics, because you have Doc Rivers, who is one of the most respected coaches in the NBA, and now you have Rajon Rondo. I think that you should see what you can get. I don't think that Dwight Howard's all of a sudden going to come up and say, I want to go to Boston because of Rajon Rondo, but you never know. It might not be Rajon Rondo. It might be other free agents out there who might not be huge superstars. They might be good veteran talent that you can put on the bench, maybe even start. So I think you should definitely look into that. So those are my four priorities here on Sports Talk. As I said, my opinion of Rajon Rondo has definitely changed. Throughout this season, I was a Rondo doubter. I doubted the guy's ability. I'm not going to lie. I didn't think that he had what it took to lead a team and even stay on the Celtics team. I wanted him out of town, believe me. I wanted him traded at the All-Star break. And even during this playoff run, if you had offered me Chris Paul for him, I would have said, sure. But now my huge opinion change. Do not trade Rajon Rondo. He is too valuable. I'm not a Rondo lover. I'm just saying you don't have to trade him. Don't look into unless it's something huge. I know that Dwight Howard isn't free agent. He's still technically with the Magic. That whole situation is screwed up. But if the Magic were going to offer you straight up Dwight Howard for Rajon Rondo, you still got to do that deal. But I wouldn't trade him. I wouldn't give him up just for another point guard, because I do think he is a very valuable point guard in this league. The way he sets up the offense, I think it works well on this team with Doc Rivers. So I think he's very, very valuable. I don't think he could be the number one. I don't think he could be your centerpiece for the Celtics team, but he's definitely the number two. And he can set up everybody around him. So those are my four priorities for the Celtics offseason and my little opinion change on Rajon Rondo. So Celtics talk presumably over for a little bit now. I don't know what the hell we're going to talk about on this program because, you know, the Celtics are over now, and now it's just the Red Sox, unfortunately, which is boring. I don't like regular season baseball. It bores me to tears, so I don't know what we're going to talk about. Hopefully, it heats up with NHL offseason and NBA offseason. That's what I'm hoping, because I don't want to have to talk about the Red Sox and get into all that crap. I mean, I guess I'd have to talk about the Red Sox, but it wouldn't be too interesting. So this is the last time we'll talk about this Celtics team, but hopefully not the last time we talk about Celtics as it pertains to next season and off season. So that ends that. We're going to get to the talk to take coming up next about the NHL playoffs, what I thought of them, and why. That's next. Welcome back. Welcome back to the show. This is Sports Talk with Ryan Ferran. Again, Twitter, @SportsTalkRF. Also, leave comments and ratings on the show page, sportstalkwithryanferran.podbean.com. Also, search iTunes, Sports Talk with Ryan Ferran. This is the Talk to Take of the Day, powered by podbean.com. The NHL playoffs are officially over on Monday night. The Los Angeles Kings won the Stanley Cup. Again, congratulations to the Los Angeles Kings for winning the Stanley Cup. So the playoffs are now over, and we sort of got to look back on them and say, you know, what, you know, was there anything special about these playoffs? What, you know, what was it about these playoffs that made it worth watching? And I don't have anything, to be quite honest with you. I thought that these playoffs were terrible. I hated these playoffs. I thought these playoffs sucked. They were boring games and boring matchups. Well, I mean, when you think about it, the Penguins and the Bruins were both knocked down in the first round, and Philly was knocked down in the second round. So the conference finals was New Jersey, New York, and Kings, Coyotes, and the Stanley Cup matchup was the Kings and Devils. Not very interesting. We had the potential for some really good matchups. Could have had the potential for maybe Bruins-Rangers, which would have been really good. Bruins-Flyers, Penguins-Bruins, maybe Penguins-Rangers, Penguins-Philly, which you got. That was over way too quick, unfortunately. So that was really the only series, Pittsburgh and Philly, that was really worth watching, really entertaining. Because there was good, there was bad blood in there, and it was very entertaining. There was fights, scrums. It was really entertaining to watch that series, even if you weren't a fan of either team. So for the rest of the other series, there was no bad blood. There was really no hatred. There was not a lot of, there was nothing that makes NHL playoffs fun in these series. And I just thought that the games were way too defensive. Too many teams looked like the Washington Capitals, and too many games were tight. Just wasn't good, entertaining hockey. It just wasn't. It wasn't like last year. And maybe we're biased. Maybe I'm biased because I'm a Bruins fan. I live in Boston. But I thought last year's playoffs were the best ones we had seen in years. I thought that those were the best NHL playoffs in a long time. Not just because the Bruins won the Stanley Cup, but I thought almost every matchup was terrific. I mean, you had Bruins-Canadiens, which was unbelievable. The Bruins-Flyers series was obviously a sleeper because it was a sweep. But I mean, the Eastern Conference Finals, those were very entertaining. The Stanley Cup Finals, I mean, I would think that that was a series that if you were a hockey fan and your team got knocked out, like if you were a Detroit Red Wings fan or if you were a Calgary Flames fan or a Columbus Blue Jackets fan and you were a hardcore hockey fan, that series got you to watch. You said, you know, my team's not in it, but this is a damn good series and it's very entertaining. I thought that last year was a good, entertaining postseason run, especially the Stanley Cup Finals, and it got everybody to watch. And I just didn't feel that way about it this year. Did not feel that way about it. And I know that I didn't watch any of the games. I watched, after the Bruins got kicked out, I really didn't watch any of the games because they were boring as hell. And the matchups sucked. The matchups were terrible, especially out of the East. The West, it's kind of hard for me to watch Western Conference hockey because, you know, I grew up in Boston with Eastern Conference hockey, which is hard, tough, physical play instead of the high-flying finesse game that they have out in the West. So I really don't watch Western Conference hockey. I'm more of the fan of the Eastern Conference hockey. And the Eastern Conference matchups were just so boring and so terrible that I just didn't want to watch them. And so it just turned me off the whole playoff run. And so that's my talk to take. Just that the playoffs were terrible this year. So boring. So just not entertaining at all. And I am so glad that they are finally over. And that the off season is officially here. And we can just get on track to the next season. We can just start moving towards the new season. And I can't wait for Bruins season to start up. I can't wait for Patriots season to start up. Oh, this is like, this time of the year for me is just, oh, it is so boring, and it is so, just this time of the year when there's no more playoffs, there's no NHL playoffs, the NBA finals are going to be over soon, and the Celtics aren't even in anyways, there's no football, obviously, and it's just baseball. It is terrible, because the best time of the year for me, for sports, is the winter time. It's great. Fall and winter are the best times for sports for me. You got the Patriots and the Bruins, and that's all that really, it's all that really matters, at least for me. And so that's the best time of the year for sports. And so I'm looking forward to the summer, obviously. I mean, I've already been out of school for almost 2 months now, so I'm looking forward to the rest of the summer, because it kind of really hasn't even started yet. But I'm so looking forward to the fall and that first game of the season for the Patriots and when the Bruins start up, because it's the best time of the year for sports, and it's a trade-off. You know, you get the best time of the year for sports and the worst time of the year for New England weather. You know, you get snow and cold weather, but you get the trade-off because it's the best time of the year for sports, for football and hockey. The best time of the year in this area, the Boston area, the best time of the year for weather, nice summer weather, it's a terrible trade-off because all you get is baseball. So unfortunately, this time of the year, it's going to be boring talk, unfortunately, but hopefully we can include some different subjects, different things to make it a little bit more interesting on the way. But again, NHL playoffs this year sucked. But congrats to the LA Kings. And just remember, I always say this every time I see some team skating around with the cup. You know, I always say this, enjoy it. So to the LA Kings fans, enjoy this. It's great, you know, enjoy, because it is great once you win that Stanley Cup. It's like no other. But just remember that it doesn't last forever. And before you know it, so enjoy the summer. If the Stanley Cup comes to your town and you can get a picture with it, go do it. Enjoy it. Buy the DVD. Relive it as many times as you want. Enjoy this Stanley Cup win, because it does not last forever. And so with that talk to take, the show is over here on Sports Talk. Do want to thank everybody for listening. This is Thursday. I'm not exactly sure when the next show will be, but it'll probably be sometime next week. Talk about whatever. Talk about the Red Sox. Hopefully something interesting happens besides the Red Sox, or I'm going to go crazy. But again, do want to thank everybody for listening. This is Thursday, so enjoy your Friday as well as your weekend. And we will see you later.